Very, very few men in World Series history have hit two home runs. Elliott has hit two successive home runs in the first and third to two different fields. Here it comes. Swing and a miss. He pulled the string and threw a slow curve ball and struck Elliott out. That's Feller's third strikeout. And at the end of four and a half innings of play, the score is Cleveland 5, Boston 4. And now, for the balance of the game, my colleague, who a little earlier hinted at the possibility of pyrotechnics, fireworks, Mel, we've had them. So here is Mel Allen.
Hello there, everybody. Again, Lou Boudreau. Right-hand hitter up. Warren Spahn, the left-hander, throws. Lou takes, and it's low inside for ball one. As we come to the last half of the fifth inning, with the Indians out in front of the Braves by a score of 5-4. Lou had an infield hit in the first inning, grounded out to third in the third. Looks at an outside fastball for ball two. Two balls, no strikes. Fifth game of the World Series with the Indians. 3-1 over the Braves, and needing this one to end the fall classic. Warren Spahn, the reliever, into the windup round comes the left arm. Here's his pitch. It's swung on. It's a ground ball hit the third. Up with it is Elliott. He goes to his left. There's a throw over to Torkelson in time. And Boudreau is out at first. Tossed out by Bob Elliott. And out of the plate steps Joe Gordon. Joe walked in the first inning. Single to left in the fourth. Right-hand hitter. Outfield plays him to pull. They move around toward left. Infield shades around toward third. Warren Spahn working rapidly. Here's his pitch. Joe Gordon takes a fastball in there for a called strike. Bill McKechnie coaching at third base. Mel Harder at first. Eddie Stanky, the second baseman, laying a stride to the right of second, very deep. Warren Spahn throws. Joe Gordon takes this one low inside. Evens up the count now at 1-1. 5-4 the score, favor of Cleveland. Boston Braves were ahead 4-1 until Jim Hegan slapped out that homer in the fourth inning. The two men on to send the Indians ahead by one run. Now the pitch to Gordon. High outside. Ball two, 2-1. Joe batting 1,000 on the day. Walked once, singled once. One down, nobody on. You got Kenny Keltner on deck. Warren Spahn working rapidly. He's all set to come in with it. He throws. The pitch is swung on line foul down the left field line. Ball bouncing out of the Braves' bullpen out in the left field, where Marv Rickard retrieves the ball and tosses it over to Joe Paparella, the American League, the alternate umpire, who's stationed down the line. Two balls, two strikes to count on Joe Gordon. Warren Spahn looks in to get the sign from Bill Salkell. He's ready. Gordon sets the plate. Here's the 2-2 pitch. It swung on, line right to Bob Elliott at third for out number two. Gordon hit that one right on the nose, but right at Bob Elliott. So they're two down, and now Kenny Keltner coming up. Kenny fouled out to the Braves' backstop, Bill Salkell, in the first inning, and then walked in the fourth. Bats him right-handed. Outfield plays Keltner to pull very sharply. Warren Spahn into his windup, throws. Fastball, it's high, ball one. Keltner hasn't done too much in the hitting department for the Indians in this series. Very few have. Kenny, as a matter of fact, has had only one hit, which is below par for him. Spahn's delivery is swung on and missed. Strike one, 1-1. Keltner's had a great year. His home run bat has been most active for the Indians during the course of the regular season. One ball, one strike. Left-hander Warren Spahn delivers. Keltner swings and fouls it back to the screen. Strike two. One ball, two strikes count. Two men down. It's the last half of the fifth inning. Fifth game of the 1948 World Series. And it could be the last game if the Indians maintain their current advantage of 5-4. The Braves are hopeful of sending it back to the banks of the Charles, however. Warren Spahn throws. Keltner swings, pops it up into the air behind the plate. Salkell coming back for the ball, but it looks like it's going to be out of play, and it is as it lands on the screen. Walter Judnick's in the batter's circle will be the next hitter in the event Keltner gets on. The early part of today's game certainly was productive. More productive of offensive fireworks than the entire series up until today. Warren Spahn swoops down low as he starts into the windup. Now the pitch. Keltner swings and sends a drive to deep left center. There's Mike McCormick going back deep in left center under it, and he makes the catch for the out. Right in front of the 380-foot sign. The ball traveled about 375 feet. Came close to being all the way. So the Indians are out on order in the last half of the fifth inning. No runs, no hits, no errors for the Braves. Nobody left on for Cleveland. And the score and the totals at the end of five innings of play. Cleveland, 5 runs, 5 hits, 1 error, 3 left on. For the Boston Braves, 4 runs, 5 hits, no errors, and 3 men left on. For you late tuners in, the Braves got 3 runs in the first inning when Holmes and Dark singled and Elliott homered. The Indians got 1 run in the last of the first inning when Mitchell homered. Then the Braves went ahead 4-1 in the third inning when Bob Elliott hit his second consecutive homer. This has been a great day for the long-distance Clouds. And then in the last half of the fourth inning, trailing 4-1, the Indians went to town. Joe Gordon singled, Kenny Keltner walked, Judnick singled to score Gordon, and then with one out, Jimmy Hegan hit Nelson Potter's first pitch into the left field seats, scoring Keltner and Judnick ahead of him, and putting the Indians out in front by a score of 5-4, sending Potter out of the ballgame and bringing on Warren Spahn. Bobby Feller received a reprieve, as Jim Britt told you, as a result of Hegan's homer, because Zoldak was warming up, and Lou Boudreau was going to inject a pinch hitter for Bobby Feller in the last half of the fourth inning, had not Hegan homered. So it's 5-4 in favor of Cleveland as we go to the top half of the sixth inning, and Marv Rickard, a left-hand hitter, stepping in. Bobby Feller on the hill, a right-hander. Outfield playing Rickard to pull toward right, of course. Here's the pitch. Rickard takes fastball in there for a call strike. Kenny Keltner is laying about 10 feet, 12 feet off the third baseline, fairly close to be in position to move in on a possible bunt or a slow roller down the line. Lou Boudreau laying over near second and in halfway. Plays a very shallow shortstop. Bob Feller delivers. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed. 4 strike 2 as Rickard cut hard. Marv has had one of the home runs in this World Series. A young man that certainly never thought he'd ever be in this World Series. He's already back home in Tacoma. When the word went out to report to the Braves after Jeff Heath was injured, needed a little outfield help. On he came, and with special permission from the baseball commissioner's office and the Indians, he's out here. Now the pitch just misses the outside corner for a ball, and the count is 1-2 on Rickard. Rickard looked at the third call strike in the first inning and then grounded out to first baseman Eddie Robinson, who flipped the ball to Bobby Feller, who covered first in the third inning. 5-4, favor of Cleveland, top of the sixth inning. Braves trying to strike back. Feller into the windup, throws, curveball outside, and the count is 2-2. Billy Southworth walking up down that third base coach's box, hollering words of encouragement up to Rickard. Johnny Cooney coaching at first base. George Barr of the National League umpiring back to the plate. Bill Summers of the American League at first. Bill Stewart of the National League at second. Billy Greve of the American League at third. Paparella of the American League, the alternate down the left field line. Pinelli, National League alternate down the right field line. Now the pitch. Rickard swings and misses. The ball pops out of the mitt of Hegan. He picks it up, throws down to Robinson in time for the out at first. It's a strikeout for Bobby Feller with a putout resulting Hegan to Robinson with a ball. A fastball popped out of the mitt of Jimmy Hegan after Rickard had swung and missed. That strikeout for Bobby Feller. That's his fourth. Struck out Rickard in the first inning. Potter in the second. Elliott in the fifth and Rickard in the sixth. And now here is Bill Salkell, a left-hand batter. Swings the first pitch, sends a long drive going deep to right field. Judney going back. The ball is going. It's gone. It's a tie ball. Broken out in a rash of home runs today, haven't they? Bill Salkeld powered a long drive to deep right field. Wally Judnick slipped, starting back for the ball, but it wouldn't have made any difference anyway, as the ball cleared the barrier to the right of the 365-foot side into the overflow crowd and back of the wire fence, and it's a tie ball game, 5-5. And now you've got Mike McCormick coming up. And now George Barr calls time, asks for the ball, looks it over, and tosses another one back out to Bobby Fowler. That's the third home run of the ball game for the Braves. Elliott's two homers drove in all four of the first four of the Braves' runs, and now Salkeld the fifth. Mitchell and Hagan have homered for the Indians. Five home runs in today's game. Now the pitch to Mike McCormick. Swung on, a ground ball hit back through the middle. Boudreau to his left, a big stop, a throw in time. McCormick's bid for the base hit. A grass cutter right back through the middle, just a stride to the left of second base as you look out on the field. Lou Boudreau scooted to his left, reached down, scooped the ball up with his gloved hand, and fired over to Eddie Robinson in time for the out. Now there's activity in the Indians' bullpen as Eddie Stanky steps to the plate. Stanky, right-hand batter. Bobby Fowler throws. Stanky takes outside. Fastball, ball one. Ed Kleiman, a right-hander. And Sam Zoldak, the left-hander, throwing in the bullpen for Cleveland. It's a tie ball game, 5-5. Outfield playing Stanky just about straight away, not too deep. Every once in a while, he'll get hold of one, though. Here's the pitch. Stanky takes outside again for ball two. Stanky flied to center in the second inning, walked in the fourth. There are two men down here in the sixth inning. That was a very neat play by the Indians manager, Lou Boudreau. Lou looks out to the outfield now, and he moves Dale Mitchell over a couple of steps toward the left field line. As Feller is into the windup, in comes the pitch. Stanky takes it, and it is outside for ball three. Three balls, no strikes. Stanky has always had a great penchant for getting bases on balls. Tough man to work to. Walked his last time up. Feller's 3-0 pitch. It's over but low, ball four, and Stanky walks. That's the second pass given up by Bobby Feller, both of them in succession to Stanky. And now coming to bat is Warren Spahn. Spahn, who came in to relieve Nelson Potter in the fourth inning when the Indians rallied for four runs to overcome a 4-1 Braves lead to go ahead 5-4. And now the score is tied at 5-5, and Warren Spahn, a left-hand batter up there. Bob Feller gets his sign from Jim Hagan. Stanky leads off first. Here's the pitch. Swung on it, missed. Strike one. Looks as if that might have been a curveball that Bobby Feller threw. Spahn takes pretty good cut for pitcher. Feller gets his sign. Guy's ready. Throws. Pitcher swung on and missed. Strike two. Bobby Feller ahead of the hitter. No balls, two strikes. Billy Southworth, coaching back at third base, cups his hands over his mouth, hollers something up to the plate to Spahn. Eddie Robinson holding against Eddie Stanky. Two down, one in, top of the sixth, score tied 5-5, fifth game of the World Series. Feller delivers, Spahn swings, grounds it foul down the first baseline, fielded by first base coach Johnny Cooney. Ladies and gentlemen, the official paid attendance today, and get this, 86,288, smashing all records for all time for any kind of a baseball game, regular season or World Series. Over 86,000. Bob Feller delivers. Warren Spahn takes fastball inside. And the count is 1-2. One ball, two strikes. Now the pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike three. Warren Spahn goes down striking out. That's the fifth strikeout for Bobby Feller. For the Braves in the top of the sixth inning. One run. One hit. No errors for the Indians. One man left on for Cleveland. And at the end of 5 1/2 innings, the score, the Braves 5, the Indians 5. Now, all of you fans know Bucky Walters, top-ranking pitcher for many years and now manager of the Cincinnati Reds. Tell us, Bucky, what's tops with you in the shaving league?
Well, as I have said many times before, Gillette has always been my favorite razor.
But what about the new Super Speed model you're using now?
I can't imagine a more convenient razor, a one that shaves easily. My old Gillette was a honey, but this latest one is super special.
Yes, Ben, super special is right. The improved Gillette Super Speed razor makes a world of difference in shaving comfort and convenience. You change blades instantly and enjoy the sweetest shaves ever. See if Bucky Walters isn't right. Buy a Gillette Super Speed razor with a 10-blade Gillette dispenser, a regular $1.50 value, for only a dollar. And now we come into the last half of the sixth inning. It's going to be Walter Judnick leading off for the Cleveland Indians, to be followed by Eddie Robinson and then Jim Hagan. And Warren Spahn, who pitched and lost the second game of the World Series to the Indians, 4-1. Spahn being removed and relieved by Barrett in the fifth inning, delivers, and it's a curve over there for a called strike to Judnick. Judnick's a left-hand batter. Grounded out to first baseman Earl Torgerson in the first inning, single to center in the fourth. The left-hander into the windup, fires away, and the pitch is inside to Judnick. The count is evened up now at 1-1. One ball, one strike, score tied, 5-5. A day that has been productive thus far of 5 home runs. Big explosions today. Now the pitch is inside to Judnick. He was ready to level off on that one. The ball had him fooled. He was dug in pretty well and had trouble getting away from that delivery by Warren Spahn. 2 balls, 1 strike. The left-hander working very quickly. Here's his pitch. Judnick takes inside again for 3. And that's the signal for some activity to commence in the Braves' bullpen. It's going to be Red Barrett, who relieved Spahn in the second game of the World Series. Now the 3-1 pitch. It's over the outside corner for call strike 2. Spahn took careful aim and fired that ball over the outside corner. He figured if Judnick was going to swing at it, he'd have to supply his own power. Now the payoff pitch on its way. Judnick swings and lifts a high pop-up toward first base. Torgerson comes in. He's in fair territory. And he makes the catch right at the bag, a foot inside the line. Walter Judnick pops out to Earl Torgerson. One away. Last half of the sixth inning. Score tied 5-5. Cleveland needing one victory to wrap up the World Series. The Braves desperately needing a victory to stay in it, prolong the series. Score's tied, and here's Eddie Robinson. Dangerous left-hand hitter up. Warren spawns into his windup. Round comes the left arm. The pitch. Curveballs over that inside corner belt high for a called strike. You've got a left-hander throwing along with Red Barrett in the Braves' bullpen. Clyde Schaun. Now the pitch on its way from Spahn to Robinson's. A curve into the dirt outside. 1. 1 ball, 1 strike, 1 out. Last half of the sixth inning. It's a 5-5 ball game, with all the Braves' runs having resulted from homers or being propelled plateward by home runs. And 4 of the Indians' 5 runs having been sent homeward as a result of homers. Now the pitch. Very high to Eddie Robinson. One of those roundhouse slow curves that stayed way upstairs. And the count on the Indians' first baseman. 2 balls, 1 strike. Warren Spahn trying to stay ahead of the hitter so he won't have to come in with anything too fat. You've got right-hander Ed Kleiman throwing the bullpen for Cleveland. Warren Spahn into his windup. Here's the pitch. Eddie Robinson swings and fouls it off to the left of the plate, out of play, into the upper deck. Hit that one on the handle of the bat. Bill McKechnie, coaching at third base, takes a turn and looks up into the stands to watch the folks scramble for that one. Mel Harder, coaching at first base. 1 down, nobody on. Eddie Robinson, the batter. The count 2-2. Warren Spahn into his windup. Here's his pitch. Eddie Robinson swings, sends a ground ball out towards second. Stanky over it, back to back up with it. Flips over to Torgerson in time for the out. Nice play by Eddie. And they're 2 down for the Indians. And now here comes Jimmy Hagan. Jim Hagan, a boy from Lynn, Massachusetts, not far from Boston, has really dealt the miseries to the boys from Boston today. A 3-run homer in the last half of the fourth inning. Grounded out to third previously. Right-hand batter, Spahn throws. High, 1. 1 ball, no strikes. Warren Spahn ready. And the pitch. Swung on, fouled off on the ground down the third baseline. Elliott scoops it up, throws it back to... Started to throw it back to Spahn. He threw it over to Dark, and Dark whipped it over to Stanky. Get a little pepper generated on the Braves infield. One ball, one strike, two outs. Last half, sixth inning, score tied 5-5. Dale Mitchell's driven in a run for Cleveland. Judnick's driven in one, and Hegan's driven in three. Now the pitch to Jim. Gets that outside corner beautifully for call strike two. It was a fastball. I think Hegan must have been looking for the curve. He was ready to swing. The ball didn't break in on him, as he expected. Stayed outside. Got the corner. Now the 1-2 pitch. Here it is. Hegan swings and he misses. Strike three. And Warren Spahn turns in a very fine inning of relief pitching in the sixth. He came out in the fourth inning, as a matter of fact, and now has given up only one walk in facing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 men. Has retired seven in a row. They've just announced the attendance figures out here, and the crowd roars. And while the crowd is roaring, and they say that this is an all-time baseball crowd record, as we've already told you, let us pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
You're listening to another great sporting event brought to you over WOR, your World Series station in New York.
At the end of six innings of play, the Boston Braves have five runs, six hits, no errors, and four left on. Hope that checks, Jim. The Cleveland Indians, five runs, five hits, one error, and three men left on base. Five hits for the Cleveland Indians, two in the first inning and three in the fourth, and six hits for the Braves, three in the first inning, one in the third, one in the fourth, and one in the sixth. And now we're ready for the top of the seventh inning. Going into what may be the final third of the ball game, perhaps the final third of the final game of the World Series, perhaps not. The trains are all set and ready to go back to Boston, and the Braves would like to do something about it. About going back, the Indians would like to just forget all about it. So we'll see what's going to happen now as we go into the top of the seventh. And the first pitch delivered by Bobby Feller is outside for ball one to Tommy Holmes, the leadoff man. It'll be Al Dark on deck with Earl Torgerson to follow. Lou Boudreau has Ed Kleiman, a right-hander, and Sam Zoldak, a left-hander, throwing the bullpen in the event that Bobby Feller should falter. The right-hander into the windup fires away. Tommy Holmes takes high. Ball two. Feller was pressing a little bit in the early innings, striving for that goal of all pitchers, a World Series victory. And a pitcher who has achieved the greatness that Bobby Feller has figures that's the one thing he has not yet gotten. The right-hander throws. Tommy Holmes takes it, and it's in there for a call strike, a fastball over that outside corner. Bobby Feller has pitched no hitters and done just about everything else. Been a 20-game winner. He's accomplished just about everything that a pitcher could except win a World Series game. As a matter of fact, he's pitched 2 no-hit games and 10 one-hitters in regular season play. Now the 2-1 pitch. Swung on. Drilled out in the left center field. Doby racing for it. And Mitchell, they can't get it. It's in there for a base hit. Cut off nicely on one hop by Mitchell. Whips his throw into the infield. Holding first is Tommy Holmes with a single to left center field. That's the seventh hit for the Boston Braves in the ballgame. And now you've got Al Dark coming up. He had an infield hit in the first inning. Grounded to third in the third and flied to center in the fifth. Kenny Keltner's in on the grass looking for the bunt. Eddie Robinson on the bag at first, holding against Tommy Holmes, will be ready to break toward the plate. Lou Boudreau ready to break for second. Gordon for first. Outfield about straight away. The stretch by Feller. The pitch. Dark shortens up, takes high outside for ball one. Realizing that Dark is up there, most likely to bunt, Feller's first pitch was up high. They like to try and get a batter to bunt a high pitch because then there's always a great chance that they'll pop it in the air. So we'll watch now the stretch by Feller once again. Here's the pitch. Dark takes it, and it is inside for ball two as Bobby Feller refuses to give Al Dark even anything too good to bunt at, hoping to make him bunt it a bad ball. It's a 5-5 ball game, top half of the seventh inning. The Braves from Boston with their backs to the wall, battling to prolong the series. The Indians trying to wind her up today. Now Bob Feller's ready. Here's the pitch. Al Dark shortens up, bunts and pops it in the air, but it's out of play to the right of the plate. Wasn't high enough to permit Jim Hegan to go for it. And it skittered off in a hurry. So the count now on Dark is 2-1. 2 balls, 1 strike. Billy Southworth, ever on the move, walking up and down that third base coach's box. Johnny Cooney coaching at first. Al Dark has a look at Billy to see if he's still got the bunt sign on or whether he's going to change up. Feller with the stretch. There's a throw over to first base. Tommy Holmes back in plenty of time. Eddie Robinson returns the ball now to Bobby. The Cleveland right-hander again with the stretch. Holmes moves off first. The pitch. Al Dark shortens up. Bunts beautifully down the first baseline. Robinson up for the ball. Throws to Gordon covering first in time for the out. Going to second on the play is Tommy Holmes. And that brings to the plate now Earl Torgerson. Al Dark sacrificed. Is out. Robinson to Gordon. 3-4 it scored. The first baseman to the second baseman. And so with one down and the potential tie-breaking run on second base, up to the plate comes the left-handed hitting Earl Torgerson, who lined to right field in the first inning, grounded out to first baseman Eddie Robinson in the third inning, and sliced a drive to left field in the fifth that Dale Mitchell took care of. So Earl Torgerson, the long ball hitter, squares away at the plate. Lou Boudreau motions out to Dale Mitchell to come in and play a somewhat shallow left field. Now Lou's right in behind Tommy Holmes. We'll watch for the attempted pickoff play should it occur. The stretch by Feller, the pitch. Torgerson takes just outside, ball one. Earl's a good drag bunter, too. We'll try and watch for anything, because anything can happen in a World Series. First four games of this series, described by most of the writers as comparatively lackluster in so much as the pitching predominated so greatly. And today it's been the hitter's paradise. The pitch and slow curve that's over. Letter high for a called strike. 1-1. I say a hitter's paradise. Perhaps that's ill-advised. Certainly the home run boys have been active today. There have been 5 blasted. I guess that's enough for any one ball game. And chances are there might be others before the 9 innings have been completed. 9, maybe more. The score is tied right now at 5-5. There's Boudreau going in behind Tommy Holmes. And out of the batter's box stepped Torgerson, and Bobby Feller stepped off the mound. I don't know whether the pickoff play went askew, so to speak, or not. The stretch, here's the pitch. Swung on, lined out over second in the center for a base hit. Here's Tommy Holmes rounding third, digs for the plate. Doby up for the ball. His throw is cut off at second, scoring as Holmes and the Braves are out in front 6-5. Scored Tommy Holmes with a tie-breaking run. It is now 6-5 in favor of the Braves, and that's all for Bob Feller. He's out of the ballgame. So Bob Feller, a picture of dejection as he walks into the Cleveland dugout, denied at least at the present time, denied the goal of every pitcher winning a World Series game. He lost a heartbreaker opening day when he spun a masterful two-hitter against the Braves, but was defeated 1-0 by Johnny Sane. It was a tough game for Bobby to lose. It was a good one for Johnny Sane to win. And so Bobby Feller, in his second effort in this World Series, has not yet achieved victory, and thus the parallel with Walter Johnson. And Bobby, as we often have said, has been referred to as the modern prototype of Walter Johnson, at least. And Johnson never won a ball game in a World Series until the 7th game, and then as a relief pitcher. So maybe we'll have a 7th game. Who knows? And now, coming on to do the pitching, in place of Bob Feller is Ed Kleiman, our right-hander. The ace Indians relief pitcher, Ed Kleiman, a right-hander. And he will face Bob Elliott, who already today has had 2 homers off Feller and struck out his last time up. Ed Kleiman, a 6-foot-1, 170-pounder from Norwood, Ohio, delivers. Elliott takes a curve right over there for a called strike. time and appeared in 44 ball games. The right-hander ready now. Again with the stretch, checks the runner. Torgerson leading off first. Here's your pitch. And it swung on and fouled off back behind the plate. Ball hitting the mask of plate umpire George Barnes, skimming right on back to the screen. Speck Kleiman appeared in 44 games, but only in 43 of them did he appear as a pitcher. We'll give you his record in a moment. He delivers now to Elliott. Bob takes outside. Ball one, 1-2. He appeared in 43 games as relief pitcher. Worked 80 innings, allowed 62 hits, walked 47, struck out 16, won 3 and lost 1 for Cleveland the regular season. He helped the Indians out tremendously. He wears glasses, just as Earl Torgerson does, while he plays ball. They call him Speck Kleiman. The right-hander throws. Another curve stays high, and the count is 2-2 on Bob Elliott. One run in, top half of the seventh inning. The score, the Boston Braves 6, the Cleveland Indians 5. The outfield for Elliott, very deep, round toward left. Torgerson moves off first. Now the pitch, Elliott swings and grounds it foul off to the left of the plate. Jimmy Hegan gets a new ball from plate umpire George Barr, whips it out to the mound. This has been one of those nip-and-tuck ball games, with the Braves grabbing a three-run lead in the first inning on a three-run homer by Elliott. Mitchell homered in the last of the first, and it was 3-1. Braves added another in the third to make it 4-1, only to see the Indians come back and go ahead 5-4. Then the Braves tie it up at 5-5. Now they're ahead 6-5. Kleiman delivers. Elliott swings, sends a little dribbler foul down the third baseline, which Billy Southworth elects to receive. And he picks it up and tosses it over to Kenny Keltner. The ball is tossed out, however, as George Barr, in the meantime, has whipped a new ball out to the relief pitcher, Ed Kleiman. Bobby Feller went 6 1/3 innings today, during which time he gave up 6, 7, 8 hits. Walked 2 and struck out 5. And gave up 6 runs. He's also responsible for Torgerson, should Torgerson score. Eddie Kleiman ready. Here's his pitch. Elliott takes inside. Ball 3, 3-2. Working very carefully on the hard-hitting Braves third baseman. And you know, if you knew Bob Elliott, or anybody else for that matter, similar to Bob Elliott, you could pick out somebody on the Indians team who came up so many times with runners on bases in previous games and was unable to deliver, you knew that that couldn't keep going on. And today, Elliott broke out of it in rousing fashion. All right, we're ready for the payoff pitch. There goes the runner. The pitch is taken inside and high. Ball 4. And Elliott walks. And that moves Torgerson down to second base and brings to the plate Marv Rickard. And now in the bullpen, it's Russ Christopher for the Indians, a right-hander, submarine artist warming up, along with a left-hander, Sam Zoldak. And so this ball game has been won with something happening every inning, and the excitement has been at a very high pitch all the way through. Kleiman with the stretch, checks the runners on first and second, throws. Rickard takes high, ball 1. You got Earl Torgerson on second base. Bob Elliott on first base. 1 down, 1 run in. Top of the seventh inning, the score, the Braves 6, the Indians 5. They've now scored as many runs in this game as they scored in the first 4 combined. Here's your pitch, swung on to a ground ball, hit out, past second, and it's on for a base hit. Rounding third is Torgerson, coming in to score. Racing into third is Elliott, hits the dirt, and the ball gets away from Keltner into the Braves dugout. And Elliott is allowed to come on in to score, and Torgerson is allowed to go all the way around to third base. To recap that play for you, Marv Rickard blasted a grounder down the middle. Joe Gordon flashed to his right, almost got to the ball, but couldn't quite get it. It went on through in the center for a single. That single drove in Earl Torgerson from second. Bob Elliott, who was on first, was racing toward third. Larry Doby's throw to third was outlegged by Elliott, but he hit the dirt, and as he did, he was in the way of the ball that skidded on by Keltner and rolled on in to the Braves' dugout, enabling Elliott to go all the way around to score, and Rickert to go to third. Now the infield is in. We'll give you the official scoring in a moment. Saul Kalled up, takes a pitch outside for ball one. Rickert is credited with one run batted in. Dobie is charged with an error on the throw, enabling Elliott to come in, and Torgerson on the ground rule, the ball going into the dugout to take two extra bases. And now here's Bill Saul Kalled up. Infield in, he takes a pitch high for ball two. So there are three runs in here in the top of the seventh inning. We're the Boston Braves now out in front by a score of 8-5. And perhaps they're getting the trains warmed up. Perhaps. Eddie Kleiman throws. The pitch is swung on line foul down the first baseline. You know, that play that enabled Elliott to come on in to score is one of those plays that occurs in baseball on which an error has to be charged, and yet it seems unjustified from one angle. And that is to say, the throw was perfect, but it just happened the runner sliding was in the way of the ball. Now the pitch is outside for ball three to Saul Kalled. You can't blame the third baseman for not feeling the ball, since the runner sliding into him blocked the path of the ball, or the third baseman's vision. You can't blame the outfielder necessarily because the throw was perfect, yet you must score to an error on somebody and you have to give it to the thrower. Now the pitch. Saul Kalled takes inside, ball four, and he's on. And now Lou Boudreau calls time. And we're going to have a new pitcher, and it's going to be Russ Christopher. Saul Kalled gets ball four. Beck Kleiman, who came on to relieve Bob Feller here in the seventh inning with one out, worked only three men, walked two of them, and allowed a base hit. Incidentally, that run that Torgerson scored is charged to Feller, so Bobby Feller has allowed seven of the eight runs the Braves have scored. And now Russ Christopher comes on, a lanky submarine pitcher, a right-hander. Russ Christopher, a 6'4", 180-pounder, who was born in Port Richmond, California, and now lives in Philadelphia. So Russ Christopher comes on. Ed Kleiman thus didn't work any part of an inning officially, since he got no one out. He allowed one hit, walked two, didn't strike out anyone, and has been charged with one run and is responsible for the two men who are now on base, should either of them score or both of them. And Russ Christopher comes on to do the pitching. Christopher was in 45 games for the Indians this year. Worked 59 innings, allowed 55 hits, walked 28, struck out 13. Won three and lost two. I don't believe the Braves saw any similar type of pitching, any submarine type of pitching this year in the National League. And so it may be that Christopher's style of delivery might bother them for the while, although that doesn't necessarily hold, but it's possible. It often does when you haven't seen a man deliver a ball in submarine fashion. Generally, you watch it coming overhand, the three-quarter, or sidearm. All right, here's Mike McCormick. First pitch to him is inside for ball one. Now, you've got Marv Rickert on third base and Bill Saul Kalled on first base. One out, three runs in, top of the seventh inning, 8-5, favor the Braves. Time call for a moment as Mike McCormick steps out of the batter's box. Has a little something in his eye. Billy Southworth hopes it's a base hit. Lou Boudreau hopes it's a pop-up, or perhaps a double play ground ball. In any event, Mike McCormick is back in. Russ Christopher ready. Left side of the infield is in. Here's the pitch. Swung on. It's a ground ball hit down toward Keltner, but it's in foul territory as he grabs it. Streaking for the plate, of course, is Marv Rickert. There may or may not have been a play at the plate had the ball remained fair, but useless to indulge in such speculation when the ball was foul. One ball, one strike, one out, two men on, three runs in, top half of the seventh inning, fifth game of the 48 World Series. The Indians leading in games 3-1, needing this one to end the series, the Braves needing it to prolong it. The left side of the infield is in, as we told you, in very close. Joe Gordon's in about halfway on the right side with Robinson holding the bag. The pitch is high outside. Ball two, 2-1. Russ Christopher, String Bean right-hander, pitches with an underhand motion. They call him a submarine pitcher. Years ago, there was one in the major leagues by the name of Carl Mays. Satchel Paige throwing the bullpen for the Cleveland Indians. Christopher all set. Submarine's one in there that's outside. Ball three, 3-1. And in the event that Russ Christopher is unable to stem the Braves' tide here in the seventh, you may see Satchel Paige making his World Series appearance. Something that quite a number of fans have looked forward to, including Satchel Paige. Russ Christopher all set. Rickard leads off third, Saul Kell off first. The pitch, it's over the outside corner, about letter high for call strike two. So you have full count, 3-2. One out. Top of the seventh, three runs in. Braves 8, Indians 5. Outfield toward left. Now with one down, Saul Kell might be going. Here's your pitch. There he goes. The pitch is swung on, lined out into right field for a base hit. Coming in to score is Rickard. Saul Kell around second on his way to third. The ball fielded by Juddick. Whips a throw into Gordon at second. Holding third is Saul Kell. At first is Mike McCormick with a line single to right field. As he got that ball down toward the handle of the bat on the 3-2 pitch and lined it just to the right of Eddie Robinson, the first baseman, and on out into right field. So Mike McCormick delivers a line single to right, scoring Marv Rickard with the fourth run of the inning. And this has been the second four-run inning of the ball game. The Indians scored four in the last of the fourth. And coming up is Eddie Stanky, who fly to center and walked twice. Saul Kell on third. Mike McCormick on first. Infield set up the same, hoping for either a play at the plate or they'll go for the double play. 9-5, favor the Braves. The pitch to Stanky's a pitch out, a throw down to first base, not in time. Jimmy Hegan called for a pitch out, hoping to pick off Mike McCormick at first. But Mike was back in time. Johnny Cooney hollering to Mike McCormick to get back. And now Russ Christopher looks in to get that sign from Hegan. The outfield straight away for Stanky, not too deep. Christopher all set. Runners on first and third. Here's your pitch. Stanky takes. There's a throw down to third base. It's into the dirt. Picked up nicely by Keltner as Saul Kell gets back safely. Another pitch out was called for just as Eddie Stanky slid his hands up on the bat as if he was going to try the squeeze, the delayed squeeze, because Saul Kell wasn't breaking for the plate, so it had to be the delayed squeeze, or else Stanky was going to bluff a bunt. And it was a pitch out, and Hegan threw to third and almost threw it away. All right, two balls, no strikes. Here's the pitch. Stanky takes. Strike one call over the outside corner. 2-1. Lou Boudreaux gambling in there, calling for two pitch outs. Most likely the manager gave that sign, trying to pick the runner off first and then the one off third, hoping to get out of the jam that way. And now Christopher with the stretch throw. Stanky shortens up, takes outside. Ball three. And again, he either was bluffing the bunt or else they had the delayed squeeze on because Saul Kell wasn't going on the pitch. In other words, it wasn't that suicide squeeze where the runner from third breaks and hopes that the batter lays it down properly. It might have been the type where the runner at third takes the lead and makes sure that the ball is laid down and then puts on the steam heading plateward. Three balls, one strike, one out. Saul Kell on third. Mike McCormick on first. Four runs in. Top of the seventh. Here's your pitch. There goes the runner from first. The pitch is looped out into right field for a base hit. Coming in to score is Saul Kell. Mike McCormick races around to third. And then the ball is bobbled out in right field momentarily by Juddick, but it recovers in time. And Stanky just blooped one out into right field. And Lou Boudreaux goes to the mound. That's all for Christopher, and it's going to be Satchel Paige. Russ Christopher was unable to get anybody out. And here's the announcement about the appearance of Satchel Paige. Listen. And while Satchel Paige makes the walk to the mound, there are five runs in here in the seventh inning for the Braves. They lead 10-5 with one out. We pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
For the best in sports, including every game of the World Series, keep tuned to 710. This is WOR, New York.
Eddie Stanky, in sending that sort of a humpback liner into right field, actually threw his bat at the ball. Just sort of half threw his bat at the ball and blooped it out into right field for that base hit that sent Saul Keld home and Mike McCormick racing around to third. Now, those three runs, or at least the last three runs, have been charged to Eddie Kleiman. The first seven to Bobby Feller. Russ Christopher is responsible for Mike McCormick and Eddie Stanky. And now coming to bat is Warren Spahn, a left-hander. So we'll see what Satchel Paige is able to do as he makes his first World Series appearance.